98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. Brought to you by Collins Comfort Masters, proud home services partner of the Arizona Cardinals. 4 o'clock reset.
It's time now for the 4 o'clock reset on this Friday edition of the Burns and Gambo show. Alongside Gambo, I'm Jordan Bird, filling in for Burnsy. We start first with the Arizona Diamondbacks. We'll get to today's game in a few minutes, but first, a move that happened earlier this morning as Drubal Cabrera was placed on waivers by the D-backs, and he was claimed by the Cincinnati Reds. In a corresponding move, the D-backs have called up Jake McCarthy, an outfielder who was the 39th overall pick in the 2018 draft. So the youth movement in full motion here, Gambo.
Absolutely. It's Drubal Cabrera, 35-year-old guy. He plays, you know, a little first, a little third. There's no reason to batting 240. There's no reason to have his Drubal Cabrera on this team. So give him a chance to go play with a contender and give yourself an opportunity to play more young players.
The D-backs game itself tonight has now been postponed 30 minutes. It was scheduled to have a first pitch at 4:05 Arizona time. That is now 4:30 Arizona time. According to Jim Salisbury of NBC Sportsnet in Philadelphia, COVID contact tracing is going on after three vaccinated Philly players tested positive today.
Plenty of vaccinated players are getting COVID. It's just I checked in with the Diamondbacks a short time ago saying, hey, I hear there's some COVID issues. Is this game he played? And says, yes, we think the 4:30 our time will be first pitch, but yes, there are issues with the Phillies.
That's interesting that it's only been postponed 25 minutes from the original first pitch, and that it came this close, the announcement, to the scheduled first pitch. I mean, this came out just a few moments ago, and we're supposed to be having first pitch any moment now. So once again, that game has now been pushed to 4:30. Other Diamondback news, Ketel Marte left last night's game with a hamstring injury, a right hip injury, I should say, a discomfort in his right hip. Torrey Lovello said today that he will not be in the lineup, but would be available to come in off the bench if need be.
Yeah, he's day-to-day. I doubt that he'll play today, but he's. I said that he's not going to play today, and that he'll be day-to-day. He's having a good season, Ketel Marte. So, and he's a big part of their future. They obviously didn't trade him at the deadline. They held on to him. Him, Zach Gallen, some of these young players, a big part of what they want to do, especially with Bumgarner pitching extremely well. Guys, look at Robbie Ray leading the AL in strikeouts and having such a good year for just $8 million. I'm like, oh, what would a rotation of Gallen, Bumgarner, Merrill Kelly, and Robbie Ray have been like if Robbie could have pitched like this when he was here?
We had a trade today in the NBA, a three-team trade.
Yep.
The centerpiece of this is a sign-in trade for Lauri Markkanen, who signed a four-year, $67 million contract with the Bulls, but then was traded to the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cavaliers are sending Larry Nance Jr. to Portland and a 2023 second-round pick to Chicago. Portland, in their part of this, they will send forward Derek Jones Jr. and a lottery-protected first-round pick to Chicago.
Yes. So they give up a player who's going to be the ninth or tenth player on a roster to go get a player who would be top five in Larry Nance Jr. I think Portland wins this trade. I think Chicago loses it. They didn't want to pay Lauri Markkanen. They get a first and a second and a role player for Lauri Markkanen because they just didn't want to play him. Cleveland, no, decent deal for them, but you know it's probably maybe a little bit of an overpay for Lauri Markkanen. We'll see.
It's also led a lot of people to believe that Kevin Love now will be out of Cleveland. But out of Cleveland, not coming to Phoenix.
I mean, he might come to Phoenix. It's if he's bought out, I mean, somebody could sign him. He can still pass. He can still shoot. He's a smart basketball player. He just can't defend anybody. He can't move. So I'm not a fan of Kevin Love. I don't think he'd be able to help the Suns very much. If he is bought out, maybe they kick the tires, but I don't think he can help them.
And in college football news today, Pac-12 Commissioner George Kliavkov was at Washington State and told reporters that it is the hopes and the wishes of the newly formed alliance to renegotiate their conference schedules. And for the Pac-12, that would mean going from 9 conference games to 8 conference games so that now you could add a home and road game within the alliance each year for the conference.
Yeah, listen, I'm excited about it because I think you'll have good games and interesting games and some decent matchups and see some new teams. So in the end, I think this will be a pretty good thing for the Pac-12.
But our top story of the day here on the Burns and Gambo show revolves around the Arizona Cardinals and their third preseason game of the season, which is now not going to happen. The New Orleans Saints released a statement about an hour or so ago saying that due to the impending Hurricane Ida and all of the evacuation notices that are taking place in southern Louisiana and in New Orleans, that game has been outright canceled after it was already rescheduled to an earlier time. They did that earlier this morning.
Yeah.
Now the game is not going to happen at all.
No, they've canceled the preseason game due to Hurricane Ida. It's now forecast to be a catastrophic Category 4 hurricane, which, like you said, Katrina was a Category 3.
Yeah.
This is a Category 4, which boosts the wind up by about 20 miles per hour more to go from a Category 3 to a Category 4. But they're expecting a hurricane throughout the day. The updates are just saying that it's going to start tomorrow. The main thing will be Sunday. But the winds in Louisiana, including New Orleans, could reach 140 miles per hour. They are evacuating some people. There is a state of emergency. They're trying to get everybody hunkered down or evacuated now. They're working with city and state officials, Homeland Security, and everything to try to help. They're expecting 50 storm surges as high as 15 feet above ground level and almost 2 feet of rain. There was, kind of got an inkling of this yesterday. They weren't going to play this game. There's just not with what's expected with this hurricane. And being a Category 4, they're not going to play a game and have people come to the game and have people when they don't want people out tomorrow.
Yeah.
They don't want people out and about tomorrow.
They are evacuating people that are in the low-level lands around the levees in New Orleans. They're getting them out of town. And if you remember, going back to Hurricane Katrina, it was the flooding of the levees and the breaking of the levees that created so much damage with Hurricane Katrina. Those neighboring communities are the ones that are on evacuation notice right now.
Well, and a lot of their personnel, I mean, this is one of the things I've read in New Orleans, but they got a lot of personnel that is spread out throughout the entire area. They don't want those people having to come to work when they could be boarding up their homes, when they could be doing what they need to do to get their families out and be safe. So they don't want anybody working tomorrow because their personnel works everywhere in the area. So they want to make sure that they have the ample time to get their families out if need be.
So obviously our thoughts and prayers are with the folks of New Orleans and Louisiana and the Gulf Coast there and what they could be facing coming up this weekend. On a purely kind of personal level or a purely selfish level, for the Arizona Cardinals not having this preseason game tomorrow, not having that third preseason game, it really doesn't mean that much in the grand scheme of things.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that this hurts in any way. I think that the main position battles are taken care of. Now, you might make an argument that, Eno Benjamin and Ward, like it hurts them. And some people may think, oh, I wanted to see Andy Isabella. But in the end, I'm not so sure that there's anything really lost by them not playing.
So you're not going to see, you weren't going to see Kyler Murray. You weren't going to see Rondell Moore. Really, the only thing that to me was going to be interesting in tomorrow's game was how Jonathan Ward, how Eno Benjamin perform. But as you have very eloquently laid out earlier this week, if the highlight of that game is deciding who's going to be the third running back or who's going to be the sixth or seventh wide receiver.
Not much of a highlight.
It's not much of a highlight to begin with.
Yeah, we'll be okay with it. They'll have to make that decision. And listen, here's the thing with the third and fourth running back. There's still going to be like two more weeks of practice before they play a game.
Well, and that's the other
thing. Determine it in practices.
That's a great point.
You don't have to decide who's dressing and who's not dressing today. You've got all the next week to practice and all the week after that to practice. Yeah. Make your determination on who's dressing and who's not dressing based on how these guys practice.
Text us your thoughts on who should make the final Arizona Cardinals roster. Who should be that third running back behind James Conner and Chase Edmonds? You can do that by texting the FanDuel text line. You can do so by texting 620-620 right now. Coming up next on the Burns and Gambo Show, we are 2 weeks away from regular season football. So people are starting to weigh in with their predictions and projections for what may happen with the Arizona Cardinals. And one national publication is pretty down on what could happen here in Arizona. We'll fill you in next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Welcome back into the Burns and Gambo Show. Alongside Gambo, Jordan Bird filling in for Dave Burns on this Friday edition. If you're just joining us, there's a lot of programming notes to get you updated on. First of all, the Diamondbacks.
They're going to play. I just got two messages from the Diamondbacks in Philly, 7:30. So they are going to play at 7:30 Philly time. So they'll play in 13 minutes.
That game was postponed about 30 minutes because of COVID contact tracing going on with three vaccinated Philadelphia Philly players. So that's the update there. That game's been postponed and will be first pitching here in about 10 minutes, as Gambo mentioned. The other thing, the Arizona Cardinals preseason game with the New Orleans Saints has been just outright canceled due to the impending Hurricane Ida coming in through the Gulf of Mexico. So no third preseason game for the Arizona Cardinals. We'll have to just be content with only two preseason games this year.
Yeah, and I'm sure that there are some guys that were looking for the opportunity to play. And I think more than anything, I think you said it right earlier, for some of these guys, it's tape against another opponent instead of like tape at practice.
Yeah.
Like you could show yourself, you know, to try to get on somebody's practice squad or make somebody else's roster. If you get cut, maybe somebody else picks you up. So that was an opportunity for a lot of guys to show themselves on tape. In the end, I don't know that if I'm Steve Keim, I'm that worried about it, that there's so many battles that were up for grabs. You got two more weeks to practice before you play a football game. You'll be able to figure it out, I promise. They'll figure it out. Not playing this preseason game isn't going to change anything. It's just they'll have 2 weeks. They'll practice. Any tough decisions will come during those 2 weeks.
So what this means, though, is with yesterday being the official end of training camp and now no longer any preseason games left to be played, we're officially now in regular season mode for the Arizona Cardinals.
You want to start previewing the Titans game? Let's go.
Well, we still got to get down to roster cuts. There still is some semantics that need to be hammered out.
So the pregame show is not going to start tomorrow at 4:30 a.m.?
No, it's going to start Sunday, 4:30 a.m.
Yes.
Yeah. Off by 24.
I think I saw that Craig Grealo, somebody tweeted out that the intrepid, the great Craig Grealo, the pregame show was supposed to start at like 6 in the morning.
6:30.
6:30 in the morning.
Still 3.5 hours out from kick.
Man, yeah. That's crazy.
It is.
It's crazy.
For a preseason game, nonetheless. Yeah. But no, to your point, some out there are already keeping an eye on the regular season, and that includes Connor Orr of SI.com. This is a yearly thing that Sports Illustrated does where they go through game by game of the full NFL schedule and pick who's going to win and lose. Of course, we have a history with this on this show, as Greg Bedard used to author this piece and notoriously picked 1 year the Cardinals to win or lose 10 straight games in a season that they ultimately went to the NFC Championship.
Yeah. You know what? You could get mad at this if you want. Oh, my God, how could you pick the Cardinals to only win to lose 11 games? And yeah, these guys are just going through it. They're doing it for every team. And you know, for some reason, he doesn't like the Cardinals. Some reason, he doesn't think that they improved very much. I write this off, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I write this off as to guys who pay very little attention to what's going on here. I do. I think that happens with the Suns. I think it happens with the Diamondbacks. I think it happens with the Cardinals. I think guys pay very, very little attention to what's going on. This guy's got the Cardinals losing 11 football games. 11 football games. He doesn't think they're improved from last year? I mean, okay. You know, it's not like they're playing a division that's a powerhouse. That division is, what, ranked 6th or 7th out of all the divisions?
According to NFL.com, you're talking about their AFC opponent.
South.
Yeah, the AFC South is the 7th rated best conference out of 8.
Right. You get Houston. You get Jacksonville. I mean, you're going to win those games.
But the flip side of that is the number 1 rated division is the NFC West.
Right.
So that's 6 games that you have to be played right there.
Yeah, but this Stu Gatz has the Cardinals losing every single game against the NFC West.
Yeah, Connor Orr has the Cardinals with a 6-11 record. As Gambo mentioned, he has them losing every single NFC West game this year, going 0-6. And in his write-up about why he only has them winning this few games, this last line sums it up. This all may seem being a little bit hard on the Arizona Cardinals, but Arizona could easily be 10-7 or 11-6 in a different division. Cough, cough, NFC East.
Let me tell you something. Cliff Kingsbury doesn't figure out a way to beat the Rams, I'm going to start calling him Bill Frieder.
What, he's going to do bank commercials?
You can start to do bank commercials where you bow down to Lute Olson. I mean, Sean McVay. Like, it's time. Like, dude, you got to beat this guy. You're 0-4 0-4 against him.
He's 0-4, but McVay is 8-0 against the Arizona Cardinals.
You don't want to be 0-6 against your buddy. I know they're buddies, but you don't want to be 0-6. Beat him. You got to beat him a lot. Like, you got to get him. Can't keep losing to Sean McVay. Well, like, I'm tired of losing to the Rams.
So let's go through this real quick.
All right,
because you seem to vehemently disagree with 6-11.
I think that I don't think my worst case scenario has them losing 11 games.
Interesting.
I don't think my worst case. Now, this is not barring injury.
Yeah.
Barring injury,
let's
we can
assume
never
healthy.
Factor that
yeah.
in. I think, and I always give you like a window of, I think their window is somewhere between 8 and 11. So I don't even think that they would go 7 and 10.
Wow.
I don't think that, I always give a window.
Yeah.
I like to give a window within 4 games. And I like to think I could be very, and I have been, if you give me a window within 4 games, I could be very accurate with most teams in the NFL. Now, I'm not saying I can get them exactly right, but I'm just saying a 4-game window, that to me, that's a lot. I think the Cardinals are somewhere between 8, 9, 10, and 11 wins. I think 8 is the low end of wins. I don't even think 7 is the low end.
See, I think this is, if I'm looking at what my floor is, yeah. I think this is about where my floor is.
Your floor is 11 losses?
Well, I look at the games that he picked the Cardinals to lose,
yeah.
And I mean, there's not many of them that I argue with. He has them losing week 1 at Tennessee.
Okay.
I can see that. Losing at the Rams, could see that. Losing to San Francisco.
Both times.
Both times. I agree that there's probably, I do not believe the Cardinals are going to go 0-6 in the NFC West. So I think that you could probably pick up a win against San Fran, and you could probably pick up a win over Seattle, and God forbid, maybe pick up a win against the Rams. I know that may be unheard of. But following out the rest of the schedule, losing at Cleveland. Cleveland's supposed to be pretty darn good this year, if that holds up. Losing to Green Bay. Losing to Detroit. Okay, that one's weird.
The Lions?
Yeah, you're not losing to Detroit, or you shouldn't lose to Detroit. But on the flip side of that, he has them beating the Bears in Chicago. Well, if you maybe flip those and have the Cardinals lose to the Bears but beat the Lions, you're still in the same boat that you're in.
You know this will never work out. We could sit there all day long and tell you what you think,
and
the games will change.
And then the only other one is Indianapolis. He has them losing on Christmas Day at home. There's nothing besides that Detroit loss. There's nothing glaring to me that's like, oh, come on. There's no way that they're going to lose that game. So to my point about being 6-11 as the floor, yeah, to me, that's the floor. Now, the ceiling to me is probably, my window is probably a little bit bigger than yours. I'll probably take it up to 10-7 or 11-6 as the ceiling,
okay, so
but my floor is lower.
Yeah, but if you go to 11, you're talking 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, you got a 6-game window.
Yeah, I know.
That's a big window.
It's unfair.
Yeah. I think they could win anywhere between 6 and 11. Like,
they're
going to
win.
Honestly, that's just too much. You got to narrow it down.
They're going to win anywhere between 17 and 0 games this year. That's my window. Yeah. No, you're right. That's a large window.
It's a large window.
So then if I had to, I would lower my ceiling and I would keep the floor at where I have it. I would keep the floor at maybe 6 and 11 and lower the floor to.
I think you got to evacuate the dance
9
floor.
9 and 8 or 10 and 7. I got to evacuate the dance floor.
You got to evacuate the dance floor.
And
you got to be dancing on the ceiling.
Oh, what a feeling. That's a good song. Lionel Richie. Is that which one you're talking about?
Yeah.
Dancing on the
ceiling.
That's a good old school jam. That's a Gambo jam that I can get on board with.
I do not
with.
Have one Lionel Richie
oh,
song.
Oh, you should put that
iPod.
One on there.
No, I do not have one.
Swap out the Barry Manilow for Lionel Richie.
My Spotify, not one Lionel Richie song.
Just to wrap up this conversation on what the rest of the division is looking at.
You ruined my prom.
Who, Lionel Richie?
Yes.
That's a bold statement to make.
Yeah, because that was our prom song, was Hello.
Oh.
Yeah.
Such a, like, that was a, like, really?
That's a weird, I showed Sarah the music video.
Hello.
I think she's still shuddering from it.
I am. I'm physically uncomfortable just thinking about it.
That's my prom song.
That's a weird prom song.
No.
About a man stalking a blind woman. Hey, yeah. Welcome to prom, 1988.
There was a Bryan Adams song we all voted for.
Summer of 69.
No, it was another Bryan Adams song. But there was a Bryan Adams song we all voted for. Like, that was cool, but, you know.
Bryan Adams had a run there where he was like,
the nerds won out, and they got Lionel Richie.
So the non-nerds were in the Bryan Adams
camp?
You know,
the people at the yearbook club and stuff like that. Heaven. We voted for Heaven.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
we voted for Heaven. But seriously, play Heaven side by side to Lionel Richie's Hello. Hey, come on.
Gambo, why do you think yearbook people are nerds?
I don't know. I just think that they picked Hello by Lionel Richie.
Because they do extracurricular activities.
I did 2 years of
yearbook. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that cut you. That comment cut you.
And you're not a nerd. Four-way into journalism. Thank you.
That cuts like a knife. That.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Here.
Nice job, Gambo.
Yes, cold as ice.
Oh,
there we go.
That's far enough. That's not Bryan Adams.
All right. So enough Bryan Adams puns here. Coming up next on the Burns and Gambo show, there are rumors of him coming to the Phoenix Suns. They have been swirling from fans for years. So after a trade today in the NBA, could this one player actually finally be Phoenix bound? Gambo will tell you what he knows next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. 4:30 on the Burns and Gambo show, and that means it's time now to turn things over to Sarah Cazell, who has an update on our Twitter poll question of the day.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update, presented by Sanderson Ford.
Now, which one are we getting updated here? The Cardinal one or Sarah Cazell Children of the Future?
Oh, okay. Oh man. By the time ASU doesn't have a game scheduled,
gosh,
how many kids are you going to have? How many grandkids am I going to have?
Let's talk about that, Gambo.
I might be a grandpa by that time.
Oh, my goodness. Grandpa Gambo?
Anything is possible in a 12-year span.
Truly.
I could go to school right now, and I could be a doctor in that period of time.
You could. What is it, 2033 is the last year that ASU football has something scheduled right now? Yeah, that's wild.
We should all have like a group text in 2033. Just where are we
where
now?
Where are we?
Where are we now?
What device would we even be talking to each other on? I mean, we may just be able to think of each other and do a mental conversation.
I'll be in space, by the way. Yeah. I won't even be here.
Just put it, might be. Just put it on the calendar. Does the calendar go to 2033 on your phone? Just pencil it in. This day in 2033, where is everybody going to be?
I love it. We'll get to my children in just a second, my future children. But let's talk about the Arizona Cardinals right now. They're my children for now. Sports Illustrated is predicting a 6-11 season for the Cardinals this fall.
Bastards.
6-11, yeah. So we are asking our listeners, how many wins do you think the Cardinals will get this year? Here is the range, 0-4 wins. 5-7 wins, 8-11 wins, or 12+.
8-11 is very, very safe and secure. Very safe pick right there, 8-11.
Yeah, because, don't forget that there's a 17th game. So even if you win 8, you're still sub .500 this season. So, that's it's not a glamorous mark to have that 8th win. But, yeah, Gamble's right. That's the wheelhouse window
That's where it is, yeah.
Yeah, not a lot of drama with this poll. It is still 73% who also voted 8-11. 20% went with 5-7 wins. 6% went with 12+. 2% 0-4.
All right, Sarah, thank you for the Twitter poll update brought to you by Sanderson Ford. An NBA trade today, Gambo, has a lot of Suns fans, a lot of Kevin Love fans wondering what might be next. There was a three-team deal today. The principles of it is Lauri Markkanen signed with Chicago, 4 years, $67 million. It was a sign-and-trade. He was shipped off to Cleveland. Larry Nance Jr. goes from Cleveland to Portland. Derek Jones Jr. goes from Portland to Chicago. There was some exchanging of draft picks. And a lot of people now are looking with Markkanen heading to Cleveland that there is an influx of forwards in Cleveland, and Kevin Love might be on his way out.
I think in 13 years when we have this group message, I think I'll still be getting asked about Kevin Love and D'Angelo Russell.
I was going to say, Russell or Kevin Love?
Yeah, somebody will say, hey, is D'Lo coming to the Suns 13 years from now? I'll probably still get that.
There's going to be someone at your funeral with a banner that says, or is D'Angelo Russell coming to Phoenix, Gambo?
Yes. Listen, before you take your last breath.
Yeah.
That's going to be me.
Yeah,
show up with the banner.
Before you take your last breath, is D'Angelo Russell coming to Phoenix? Listen, I'm not a Kevin Love fan at this point. I don't know why people are. If he gets bought out, somebody's going to sign him. You're going to get him at the veterans minimum. He's a guy that knows how to play. He's got a good basketball IQ. He could shoot the basketball. He could pass. I agree with that stuff. He couldn't defend Sarah right now. I mean,
wow.
He couldn't
shot at Sarah.
I mean, saying you would eat him.
All Cave Creek big, okay?
Yeah, have you seen her down on the block? She is a post.
Did you play basketball
when I was very young? Yeah.
Oh yeah, you'll kill him. You would kill him. He'd have no chances to stop you in the low post. He can't defend anybody. I mean, he's not a power forward anymore. He's a backup center. They have a backup center in JaVale McGee. He can't play power forward. He really even can't play center. He could have a small role with somebody, and it's not necessarily 10-12 minutes a game. It would be like, hey, if somebody's out for an extended period of time, he can come in and play a little bit. When somebody's resting, he could come in and play. But you got to understand what the NBA is all about today. The NBA is all about switches and pick and roll. Kevin Love can't protect the paint. He can't protect the paint. He's not a rim protector. He's not good at switches. And when you're playing, when Kevin Love's on the court, teams are going to seek that out. Let's get the switch onto Kevin Love. Okay, great. I got the switch. I got my guy on Kevin Love. Doesn't even matter who your guy is. It's an easy basket. Kevin Love can't defend. So you work, you switch, you switch, you switch until you get that matchup on Kevin Love, and then you exploit that matchup time and time again. That's what's happened to Kevin Love over these last couple of years. He can't defend. James Jones wants somebody that could play defense in that final spot. I would be very surprised if Kevin Love is that guy. Very surprised. I'm not going to rule it out completely because, like I said, he could pass, he could shoot, but it doesn't fit what they're looking for. And I'm telling you once again, he cannot defend anybody or in any situation. I don't know how he's going to help a team.
Everything that you're including in that scouting report of Kevin Love, it sounds quite similar to a player already on their roster. Frank Kaminsky? Yeah. I mean, so you're bringing in another Frank Kaminsky, a guy who can't defend?
Yes.
Now, Kevin Love, I would say, is a better shooter
better
than
shooter,
Kaminsky.
Better passer.
And he's a rich man's Frank Kaminsky at this point in his career. That's not necessarily a compliment.
If you had Frank Kaminsky gone and Kevin Love in, I mean, you're probably a little better because Love can pass and Love can shoot, but he's just... You know, again, it's like, you know, Frank, you try to switch on to Frank because he can't defend. You're going to try to switch the game. The game is all switching. The game is all, but he is not a guy that can protect the rim. He's not a guy that could switch. So it's not, you know, you're going to run him into every pick and roll. You're going to run him into every pick and roll if you're an opposing team. That's what you're going to want, and that's, you're going to be able to get it.
I think the fascinating thing in this conversation, not even just specific to the Suns, is what does Kevin Love think his role is going to be with whatever team he may be on?
I don't know.
Does he still think that he is the Kevin Love of 5-6 years ago when he was an all-star? Or has he wised up to the idea that he's on the wrong side of his career? And will he accept a role where he is more significantly a true role player than a main contributing piece to a team?
Yeah, I'm not sure what he wants anymore. I'm just not sure. I just know he's such a defensive liability. Like I said, I think he's a backup center if you look for a position because I think power forward, I just don't think that he could do it. He could have a small role with somebody. He could have a small role. And again, I mean, if we're not – there's no real risk here. Like, oh, if the Suns get him, oh, my God, why did they get – they're not paying any money. It's a veteran's minimum contract. I mean, he'd very likely get the veteran's minimum.
The funny thing about it, though, is that at no other point during the could Kevin Love come to the Phoenix Suns conversation – have the Suns been in as good of a position to be enticing to players to come here? I mean, the Suns are coming off an NBA Finals appearance. Chris Paul's coming back. They brought back so many of their key role players that I could see why Kevin Love would want to come to the Phoenix Suns or has identified the Suns as maybe a team that he could go to and piggyback onto a championship run. But, you know, when the Suns needed Kevin Love, he probably didn't want to touch this organization with a 10-foot pole, and now the roles have been reversed.
Yeah, I mean, look, Team USA didn't want him. You know, they allowed him to opt out. He wasn't going to play.
Colangelo called him out of shape.
I mean, yeah, I just, again, I think a lot of people tie the James Jones relationship. James Jones really liked him as a teammate, and a lot of people are putting a lot of stock into that. But I don't know that I think that James really values defense for this final position. Now, they let go of Tyshawn Alexander, so they've got two roster spots open for two-way players now.
Yeah.
If they want to do that. So they let go of Tyshawn Alexander. I think if they do add a player at some point, and they will at some point, I think it's very likely going to be a defensive-minded player. I don't think that would be Kevin Love. I won't go Blue Oyster Cult on you here because I just, you know, I just don't know how deep that relationship is between James and Kevin. But again, it doesn't make sense based on what James Jones is looking for.
Text Sparky to 620-620 and kick off the college football season with your favorite Arizona sports host and a special guest for our Valley Virtual Series presented by 72 Sold, where you can get a higher price. Plus, we will be giving away college football tickets. Text Sparky to 620-620. Speaking of ASU, there are some people that think the Sun Devils can win the Pac-12 South Division. There was a report out today, or some predictions, I should say, that paint a different picture for what could happen in Tempe this season. We'll fill you in next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Welcome back into the Burns and Gambo Show. Alongside Gambo, Jordan Bird filling in for Burnsy on this Friday edition. A busy Friday with just a lot of scheduling things happening. The Diamondback game got pushed back 30 minutes due to contact tracing with the Phillies.
Did we just hear the Cardinals had to turn around mid-flight?
Yeah, I was just about to bring that up.
Oh, man.
The Cardinals game with the New Orleans Saints tomorrow has been canceled. someone tweeted out that they were tracking the plane. And as they were basically in the heart of Texas, you can see on the flight tracker. Oh,
that's so funny.
Their plane just made a U-turn and headed back to Arizona.
That is so amazing that you could track planes like that.
Right.
You could just see it. There's the plane, Arizona to Texas.
Yep.
Turned around. Now it's coming back.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's that game, of course, has been canceled due to the weather situation going on in the Gulf of Mexico. Hurricane Ida expected to be making landfall in the New Orleans area sometime this weekend. So for everyone's safety, not having fans try to get to the Superdome, not trying to have employees get to the Superdome, that game has just been outright canceled. What we do have tomorrow is college football, and specifically for Arizona State. We are now less than a week away from the start of their 2021 season when they will be taking on Southern Utah on Thursday night. And we've already talked on this show. John Wilner believes that ASU is
Got him in the championship game against Oregon. He's got to win in the Pac-12 South, but then losing to Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game.
And that's not been out of the norm. There's been quite a few people that have looked at ASU as a team that can challenge for the Pac-12 South division title. CBS Sports, though, they released their Pac-12 expert predictions today. They are not a part of that group. They had seven of their college football analysts weigh in on questions and predictions. And we'll start here before we get into where they think they're going to finish in the South Division. The most overrated team in the Pac-12 conference, out of the seven college football experts that they had weigh in, five of them named Arizona State.
I don't get it. I just don't get it. I mean, are these people not seeing what I'm seeing? This is an elite defense for Arizona State University. They're going to have 8 or 9 guys get drafted off this defense. I mean, what are they not saying? They might not like the fact that there's not a good wide receiver. It's the weak spot. I think the leading wide receiver coming back has 11 catches. That is a weak spot. I get it. But they've got two dynamic running backs in Trainum and White. I like both of those guys. So and diverse. I mean, one guy's a speed guy, one guy's a bulldozer. But I don't know how you could look at this defense and think that that team's overrated. I mean, just they're all seniors. They're all upperclassmen. A couple of them could have gone. They stayed. Chase Lucas is fantastic. Evan Fields is fantastic. Butler's great. Melvin Robertson. Jermaine Lole, he's out. But, like, there's a lot of talent on that team. I just don't see where you could look at ASU and look at that defense and say that that's an overrated team.
Well, in their write-up of why Arizona State was listed as one of the most overrated teams, Tom Fornelli is the one who wrote up on it. And, of course, he mentions the NCAA investigation and how that has the potential to cast a cloud over the season. But he also said, quote, "While Herm Edwards has exceeded the expectations most had for him, those expectations were low. This is still an ASU team that has yet to win more than 8 games in a season under Edwards. They are also 11-11 in Pac-12 play under him. That does not scream top 25 team to me." But that's all general stuff. To your point, that's not looking at this team and the type of personnel that they have and the guys that they're bringing back. You're just looking at broad general stats, topics, and making pretty broad assumptions off of those stats.
I think, listen, they play a lot of close games, You probably figure, okay, if that's how Herm wants to play it, you're not going to win them all. You're just not going to win them all. But I think your defense is set up to win the majority of them. I don't think they're going undefeated or anything like that. I see them winning the Pac-12 South. I see Arizona State winning the Pac-12 South and playing in the Pac-12 championship game. And I don't know what's going to happen with the investigation. And honestly, at this point, I'm going to turn my attention away from it. I don't care until new news comes out. I really don't care. It's time to focus on this season. These kids that have worked so hard for this opportunity. You got a great leader and quarterback in Jaden Daniels. He's put on about 10 pounds. So he's gained a little bit of weight. And again, I think that they're deep defensively. And I can't wait. I mean, you watch this draft next year. There's going to be a lot of ASU defensive players that get drafted.
Well,
a lot.
When you look at who has the leg up in winning the South, in this CBS Sports piece, 6 out of their 7 writers are picking USC to win the South. You mentioned close games. Last year, ASU took SC to the wire. It was a weird game because it was a weird season and it was being played in the springtime. But to your point, ASU had USC. They should have won that game. So if USC and the Trojans are being put up on this pedestal as being the presumptive kings of the Pac-12 South Division, ASU was right there in terms of knocking off SC last season. So even if you think SC is going to win this division, it's not like there's this huge canyon between the talent and the overall depth of USC as opposed to ASU or Utah. So, I mean, once again, I think this is, you mentioned it about, I think we were talking about the Cardinals or something earlier today, when these national people kind of drop in on local stuff.
Yes.
And they just look at it for the, you know, just a quick glance, get enough information that they can write something that seems coherent to people around the country. But I don't feel like this is really indicative of how well this team is set up for a type of season this year.
Yeah, listen, there was some fluke plays that happened for USC to beat them last year. I don't know if you remembered, but Slovis threw a 26-yard pass into the end zone to a guy that was double covered. That was Amon St. Ramon. The ball got tipped and it went to the hands of a redshirt freshman that scored. And all of a sudden, ASU, it's 27-21 after the extra point. USC lines up for a desperation onside kick, down six with 2 minutes and 49 seconds remaining, no timeouts, and they get it. They get the onside kick. It falls in front of the freshman wide receiver for USC, Brew McCoy, and all of a sudden they get the ball. Seven plays later, 45 yards later, Slovis, you know, throws another on a 4th and 9. He finds Drake London in the end zone, and the comeback's complete, and USC wins 20. USC needed a couple of, like, they needed a tipped ball that landed with a guy. Wow, oh my God, look, I got the tipped ball touchdown and an onside kick. So ASU blew that. I mean, they blew it. The Trojans were sloppy. The majority of the game, they were sloppy. They turned the ball over 4 times in that game, USC did. So I'm not really, you know, thrilled with USC and thinking, oh, USC is this be-all, end-all. Arizona State, I think, is going to be a better football team than USC.
I wonder how many of these guys just looked at that final score and said, oh, well, SC beat ASU last year without, once again, going into the reasons why or how it came about. So
I got this. This is November 17th, 2020. I still have these. I kept this game.
USC stuns ASU.
This is my notes from that game.
Notes and the handy-dandy notebook coming
right out. This
yeah.
is my notes from that ASU-USC game. I kept them all because I knew that this would come up at some point down the road. So when you go back and you look at that game, USC wasn't that good. They're not that good. Arizona State, I think, will win the Pac-12 South.
6 of the 7 experts have SC winning. For ASU,
maybe we'll bet Keyshawn Johnson on that, too.
One writer has ASU finishing second in the South. 3 of them have them finishing third. And 3 out of the 7 have them finishing in 4th place in the South Division. So, once again, have a guy like John Wilner, who is dialed into the Pac-12, yeah, thinks that they are going to win the South.
Because he knows what he's talking
about. You have these
about.
National guys who are, you know, they're stretched across the country, all of the conferences. Probably don't have their finger on the pulse as well of someone like
don't
John
have
Wilner.
The time to do the research,
and
to
they
read
seem
the previews,
to be way down on ASU.
Yeah.
It's an interesting dichotomy there.
Jaden Daniels had 11 carries for 111 yards rushing in that game.
Well, and you mentioned to me more than Jaden Daniels, the running back, the two-headed monster that they have, that is going to create some headaches for teams in the Pac-12 this year. I'm much higher on ASU than it seems the folks at
Me
CBS
too.
Are. Coming up next, our final hour on this Friday edition of the Burns and Gambo Show, Cliff and Kyler, they're going into their 3rd year together. Is time running out for them to get this offense right in Arizona? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.